In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. During my lifetime, something disconcerting has happened. I was born before the middle of the last century, but a lot of things have changed since then. And sometimes I'm afraid that when I speak, I am addressing myself to people of the last century. Because in the last century, in the 20th century, the common understanding was that this world is governed by the laws of nature. And science is what you turn to for an understanding of the world. A rational understanding of the world is what was sought. It was considered authoritative. And in defending the faith, we had to defend the faith against the idea that there is nothing other than faith and confidence in this world, a rational world governed by the laws of nature and science. And I look around me and I'm not even sure that the majority of the people in our country still think in that way. Since then, a lot of things have happened. One of the things that's happened is, of course, the world of computers and electronics. It's possible for people to live inside of the world of computers and electronics and feel as though that's where the real meaning of their lives lies, not out in the physical world. They prefer a imaginary world, a fantasy world. And I see people demanding fantasy rights, claims that they should be able to rule reality. Whatever I feel, whatever I need, whatever I desire, that is the standard of what is real. And I have a right to demand it. And when I don't get it, I get angry. It wasn't that way in the last century. I'm not blaming computers. What I'm blaming is a new kind of forgetfulness. A new level of forgetfulness of the fact that, as a matter of fact, if it weren't the case that scientific knowledge is reliable, there wouldn't be any automobiles. There wouldn't be any airplanes and people flying through the air. There wouldn't be any computers. There wouldn't be any of the marvels of technology and manufacture that we take for granted. And there is the thing. We take it for granted. We've reached the point that we take these things for granted to the point that we live within this created world and even within a created electronic world of computers and cell phones, so-called, actually, pocket computers. And that's the real world for us. The world outside is boring. Who's interested in that? It doesn't satisfy our desires quickly enough. And that's what we want. And so I'm not sure sometimes that I'm even directing my sermons to the living audience. Maybe I'm directing my sermons to people of the last century. But I can't help it. I am the age that I am. And so directing my words toward those who still recognize that reality exists on its own before our desires fabricate in our imaginations a realm of fantasy. The world exists independent of my mind, independent of your mind, independent of the human mind, independent of our technology. It exists, and if it didn't, we wouldn't have any of that technology. That's got to be recognized. I can only start there. And that's where my sermon begins. Because even though people's ways of thinking has changed so much, this point, I think, has not changed. Near the end of the 18th century, a philosopher in the British tradition, David Hume, said that Christianity is based on miracles. Christianity is based on miracles. Exceptions to the laws of nature. And no witness, and no number of witnesses, is enough to convince me that laws of nature are broken and someone can rise from the dead. Miracles simply are just not things that occur in the world. I even took a course. I had to take a course to strengthen my background in philosophy in order to continue to teach philosophy courses at Blue Ridge Community College in North Carolina. So I took an online course at Harvard. And the assumption, well, it was a course in metaphysics, but the assumption was scientific materialism is the norm. Now, in the universities, that 20th century worldview, it's still there. They still assume that that's the nature of things. And we got to David Hume, and I had to write something on David Hume, the idea that Christianity is just impossible to imagine because it's based on miracles. And I disagreed. I said, Christianity is not based on exceptions to natural law. Which brings me to something that I found in reading this week, Bishop and Saint Nikolai Velimirovich's sermon for today. And I'd like to read to you what he says. If we were in the purity and sinlessness of paradise, we would look at every moment and breath of our own lives, at every one of God's creatures, and say, look at the miracle. But as sin has become a habit among men, this miraculous world is habitually taken for granted. We see God's constancy and take it for granted. We say the world is governed by laws of nature. There is a famous theologian by the name of Dmitri Stanilowy who loves to point out that science and rational thought is possible because God has created a world that is compatible with the human mind. Our rational human mind and the world that is out there are compatible. And so, it is a regular world that we can depend on. God's sustaining of this world is so dependable that we can expect that things are going to happen in a certain kind of way and not just pop up and disappear. Now, if we live in an electronic world, things are popping up and disappearing all the time. Mostly these days, commercials. But they're not all connected. It's just a vast mass of universally accessible things that we can just tap on and be there, at least in our reading and our visual experience, in a second. But the real world isn't like that. The electronic world is like that, but the real world is not like that. It's constant. It's dependable. Is it possible for someone to experience the miraculous nature of this world in the 21st century? I know that I do. And I was going to try to avoid this example, but I just don't have another one available. I don't want to put myself as someone who has accomplished a great thing because that's the miracle. I fell in love with a girl when I was 14 in high school. We're still married. I love her incredibly. It is a miracle. It is a miracle. That's something that I know, I experience. We had made our way, not through any advantage or capacity of our own, through a world of chaos and insanity during the last more than 50 years. And what I see in her is the same thing that I saw in her when I was 14 and fell in love with her. That is because of the fact that this is a miraculous world. It is determined by the moral nature and quality of us as physical, spiritual beings. Our story of the fall is that in the beginning, we were at one with God. The world was as God created it to be. It was a place that was going to gradually become more and more a place of paradise. Paradise, remember, is a small place. It was intended to encompass all of God's creation. And that was going to happen because human beings have a moral and spiritual capacity to affect the world that they live in. And the story of the fall is centered on the fact that Adam and Eve turned away from living the spiritual lives in communion with God that they were created to live. They turned toward the world and tried to sustain themselves by eating the food of the world. And everything changed. The connection between them and God was cut. And death came into the world. This remains as miraculous a world as it was at the creation. We can see this in the fact that our moral and spiritual choices have consequences that determine our lives. That is the human world. Bishop Nicolai says that because of our sinfulness, by which he means not breaking rules, but our disorientation from reality, are missing the mark, missing the target of what it means to be a human being, such that we are involved in the determination of the moral and spiritual and physical reality that becomes our lives based on whether or not we love God and others, or whether we love ourselves and try to sustain ourselves by eating the fruit of the world. That's our choice, one or the other. And our lives are going to play out according to that reality. The ultimate reality of the world that God created is a moral reality, and that's why this is a miraculous world. That's why. Bishop Nicolai says that even though the very existence of this world that God has created is miraculous because it depends on God's active participation in the world to sustain the world, even though we have left off our part, our responsibility, even though this is a miraculous world and we have become unaware of the miraculous quality of this world because of God's constancy and his love, the fact that he rains benefits and good upon the just and the unjust, which sometimes we can't figure out because we just want good for ourselves. Why is God good to the unjust? Well, he is. He maintains and sustains this world regardless. We have become used to it. We take it for granted. It's so dependable that we can build a scientific knowledge of the world. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But we take it for granted. We think it would have to be an exception to the way the world is to prove to me that God exists. When the fact is, the miracle is the reality of the world that we live in, such that human beings are so intimately connected to the world that our moral choices determine the nature of things in the world around us. Some people have taken the world so much for granted that they deny that human beings can have any influence on the world that they live in. People say, climate change, it can't be because of us. We don't have any effect on the world. God created the world like a big machine. We live in it. I have my understanding of God. It has to do with me. But as far as our having any influence on the world, doesn't make any sense to me. But we do. Our moral and spiritual choices always affect the world. That's our blindness. We don't see it. We are like asleep. And when Jesus comes and he wants to choose his disciples, he has to start by waking them up. He uses an exceptional miracle, something that was not expected, to wake up Peter, James, and John. Their boats are on the shore. He points to one of them and asks to be put out to sea. They go out to sea. He turns and he uses the Sea of Galilee and the shoreline as a natural amphitheater to speak to the people and to teach them. And after he's done that, he tells Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets. And Peter explains, we toiled all night and we took nothing. Peter was relying on his own effort, his own work. And he was toiling in the shallows of the sea, where it's not as dangerous, where you don't have to worry so much about storms. But Jesus told him, put out into the deep. And so even though he had worked all night and James and John had worked with him and they were tired and exhausted from working throughout the night, he was obedient and he put out to sea. And he let down his nets. Bishop Nicolai says that what is happening here, because of who this is the incarnate Son of God himself. This is Christ God. And his way of interacting with the people of the world and this world of whom he is the creator always have a deeper significance. And the deep significance here is that we can toil in the shallows of a life where we depend on ourselves, believing that we accomplish the success that we accomplish ourselves, not realizing the miraculous nature of the world and our spiritual connection to the world, so that if we depend on ourselves and toil in the shallows of the sea, those things that we feel competent to do, working for success, we will miss the reality of things. We will never be able to deal with the inner realities of what it means to be a human being. But Jesus tells Peter, put out into the deep. The deep is the depths of the soul. First, he teaches the people on the shore, but these men he has chosen as disciples to become apostles. He wants them to put out into the deep, let down your nets. And a special miracle is made. Bishop Nicolai says that God commands the fish of the sea to swim into the net. Why couldn't he do that? He created the heavens and the earth. All of the things of the world obey his command. It's nothing for him to tell the fish of the sea to swim into the net. It's just as natural as any one of the other miracles that he accomplishes. As he orders the universe, moves the galaxies, and moves the planets through their orbits, the fish go into the net. And there are more fish than the net can hold. The net breaks. And Peter realizes who he is in the presence of. Not because he has deep learning, but because he has awe enough to realize when he is in the presence of God, that he is in the presence of God. And he falls down and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Same thing that the prophets say in their visions when they find themselves in the presence of God in heaven. Let me depart. I am sinful. I'm not worthy to be with you. He is awestruck. And Jesus tells him, fear not, you will be a fisher of men. And part of that fishing, we, in our worldly way of thinking, we think, oh, he means he's going to go out and he's going to have lots of big churches with lots of people. There are things that need to be caught within ourselves, things that need to be dealt with in ourselves. That's what Bishop Nicolai is explaining to us. There is the fact that we have this sinfulness, this missing of the mark, this taking for granted of all the world as though God were not intimately involved in every choice that we make. Our bondage to this world, Bishop Nicolai uses the word enthrallment, a thrall, it's like a slave. We are enslaved to this world so that we don't see the reality of things. He says, enthrallment to this world and faith in our own efforts, as the apostles had when they were toiling in the shallows, as we have, as we toil in the shallows of our own lives, expecting sometimes we can pray to God for help in our efforts that don't really include him except to help us in our efforts. That's how blind we are to our actual relationship to God and the world we live in. Faith in this world and in our own efforts either eventually brings us to despair, which is a good thing. Because if we despair of our own efforts, we may turn to God. It may cause us to despair enough and gain enough wisdom to turn to God, or it carries us off on a flood of worldly success until we completely lose our human dignity and give ourselves over into the hands of invisible evil powers. If instead we experience this world as a miracle and our brothers and sisters as miraculous beings whose moral and spiritual lives have an impact. They have an impact, after all, we know this, on us. Those whom we love bring us to the highest levels of joy. Those we have conflict with bring us to the lowest level of despair. We have an influence on one another. And we as human beings have an influence, a spiritual and moral influence on the world. That's the kind of miraculous world we live in. If once we begin to see that and realize the miraculous nature of our fellow human beings, we are able to begin to live a new life. That's the actual reality of the world. If it wasn't, we wouldn't think that everything is about my feelings, my emotions. We wouldn't be in conflict with others who believe that the world is about their feelings, their emotions. We live in a world where we are in constant moral and spiritual interaction with others. God comes into the world in order to show us how to live as the miraculous beings, physical, spiritual beings that we are. A new way. Not following the way of the world, but dying to that way of living and living the new life that he makes possible for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.